Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Who's, man?
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys will get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Hey, welcome to another Parents Culture Parents Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I promise you another wonderful show. You know, this show here just is just a little kickoff for the start of 2015, but let me say this before I get into the show. You know, 2015, folks, we're going to have to make some changes. We're going to have to do some things that is going to open some eyes and turn some corners for the masses. And I say that because, you know, I think about events that have happened over the years. And I think about things that we have experienced or we have had to deal with as parents. You know, but even more so, I think about some of the things that our children have endured as young men and women that's involved in this industry that's producing over $300 billion a year. So I go back to say that we have to make some things happen in 2015. We have to turn some corners. We have to open some doors. We have to wake some folks up. We have to make some noise in 2015 as parents of athletes, be it elementary school athletes, middle school, high school, college, or professional athletes. Because if you look at it from a huge standpoint, we have the ability to make this huge impact and open up some eyes, you know, just solely based on, you know, what we're into. Because if you look at every sports organization out there, from the recreational level all the way through to the professional level, there's somewhat of a network of people, be it the athletes as they play together on the team, be it the parents as they sit in the stands and cheer for the athletes, and all the folks that come to support them, be it as the support staff, folks that's running the organization, folks that you interact with on a regular basis. We have an opportunity to reach all those folks. And in reaching them, we must reach them with a purpose. And the purpose being that simply letting them know that this isn't really a game that we're going to take lightly. We're in this here for the best interest of our children. I had some other things that I wanted to share, but I'm going to hold on that for right now. I need to go to my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and let Keith go ahead and take us away with his little piece there. I call it College Experience, but we got a whole lot of things. I'll be right back, folks, on the Parent Coach Parent.
Do student of the game. Had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
He said he's making smart cool. That's just what he do. That's just what he do. You know, those same words were echoed by our president, President Barack Obama. It's okay to be cool. It's okay to be smart. It's okay to be cool. Those same words was echoed. So that must be part of the mantra up there at the University of Harvard, where both Keith and our president both attended. Well, folks, I'm not going to prolong the show here. I had some things I wanted to talk about. Actually, I'm going to defer this evening to a pre-recorded show because I have some other information I need to start working on in preparation for our upcoming year. Trust me, folks, I got some folks that's coming on that's going to share some information with you that may blow your mind in some cases. You know, the second Sunday of every month, we will have our elder, not Elder Bill, man, I was about to say the wrong person. We will have on our compliance officer from Jackson State, Miss Alexis Avery. She's going to come back in and join us the second Sunday of every month, and she will be a standard guest on the Blog Talk Radio Parents Culture Parents Network. Following her the third Sunday, we will have my friend and good brother and mentor, Mr. Everett Glenn, coming back in on the third Sunday to share some insight with us here on the Parents Culture Parents Network on Blog Talk Radio. Fourth Sunday, you belong back to me, folks, and we're going to go hard, and we're going to go wild, and we're going to go wide open because we need to speak up and speak out things that we really and truly need to start addressing come 2015. If you're in the Fredericksburg area of Virginia and you want to catch me live, I will be there on the 18th, and I will share that information with you at the next show or prior to us closing this show out. The date and time, I believe, is 6 p.m., but I don't know the exact name of the high school, but hopefully I'll have that information here shortly. I'm trying to pull it up as we speak here. But I'm going to go into the show today, and we're going to talk a little bit about NCAA violations. Again, I said this is a pre-recorded show, so if you want to stay tuned and stay in touch with what we got going on, please, by all means, listen in. Share the information with us. Give us a call, 917-889-8095. Let's go to the show, folks.
Jim Boeheim, the bid against Syracuse, is under investigation. He is such a cheater, just like with Bernie Fine.
You, of course, mean the Bernie Fine situation where the accusations turned out to be false.
Yes. But this CBS sports story is bad.
Do they have any specific allegations in the story?
Nope, but they see Syracuse is breaking every rule in the manual.
Who says?
A person who does not want to be identified.
Someone rock solid. How bad can it be? North Carolina invented a course for its basketball players to take and was not punished,
but has a sexual assault allegation that the university covered up.
If they covered it up, how do you know about it?
Because they avoided punishment because they were basketball players.
So the fact that a Graham Just and Syracuse's Judicial Review Board both said the players were innocent just screams cover up.
Syracuse is a dirty program.
Dirty enough to buy Anthony Davis. That is right, they had a commitment from Anthony Davis, then he chose Kentucky mysteriously. But Syracuse cheats.
You are bitter. Are you some conspiracy theorist?
Two stories break in two consecutive years, 2 days before the NCAA tournament. I am sure that happens to everybody.
You are a hater.
Yes, I am a hater of crappy journalism.
I hope you had a chance to really listen to that little piece, and it talked about a number of violations that has taken place over the last few years. And when I say violations, I address the issue of, you know, the simple things that they accuse our children of. You know, it's really interesting when someone takes the time to accuse our children of these violations, but never really and truly lay out the rules and regulations that govern things that they can and cannot do. You know, wouldn't have any of these young men and women been sat down and been, you know, given instructions on, okay, these are NCAA violations. The NCAA has a complete manual that lays out what they have stated as violations. To say this, I'm going to say this, the NCAA has that manual, but who in a local food chain actually takes the time to break that information down to every eligible? Let's back this up. Not even every eligible. Every single one of our young children that has desires and aspirations to play college sports. Has someone taken the time to sit down and say, this is an NCAA violation? Because if that answer to that question, then the NCAA realistically has no leg to stand on. Why do I say that? Because how can you accuse a child of violating NCAA rules and regulations if they haven't been thoroughly briefed and have a thorough understanding of these rules and regulations? How can you accuse them of violating this information? Okay, so you go back to the old adage. You put it in a book. Put it in a book, and it has language that if you're not a practicing attorney, you may not be able to decipher that garbage. And I say garbage because if it's something that applies to the average everyday common child that has the ability to play at the college level, why would you put it in a language where that child has to get in a higher authority or a lawyer to decipher the cryptic information or cryptic jargon that's in the NCAA's rules and regulation guideline manual? Why can't it be just as simplistic as, hey, if you do this, it's a violation. If you do that, it's a violation. If you do this here, it's okay. If you do this, put out the do's and don'ts. NCAA, we as parents, so the Parents Coach Parents Network is calling You're out to put out the do's and don'ts. I have attempted to look up the do's and don'ts various times on, you know, the different websites. Unable to find anything. Why is that so? The do's and don'ts will simply make it so much easier for our children to understand what they can and cannot do. Can and cannot do. You know, simply go into Google and type in do's and don'ts. Let's see what comes up. Let's see if they have any valuable information. NCAA. That's how simple it should be. That's how simple it should be to come up. They got CBS Sports that has information on here. They have ESPN has information on here. Wikipedia has information on here. SaturdayDownSouthWhatever.com has information on here. Syracuse has information on here. I don't see anything from the NCAA that addresses do's and don'ts. Why is that? Okay, let's go to this NCAA site, Frequently Asked Questions. Because it's so vitally important that our children understand some of the things that are do's and don'ts. Okay, when it talks about amateurism certification process, questions such as, do I have to register with the NCAA Eligibility Center? Okay, that's not addressing a violation. When should I register with the NCAA Eligibility Center? That's not addressing a violation. Is there a registration deadline? That's not addressing a violation. Is there a registration form available in languages other than English? Not addressing a violation. What is the cost of the registration fee? Not addressing a violation. May I receive fee waivers? Not addressing a violation. I'm going to attempt to go through every single little question up here, and hopefully at some point in time we'll get to something that states that this is considered a violation. No, you can't do this because this is considered a violation. I'm saying that, parents, and I'm so serious about this right now, and, you know, this is something that has really been pulling on my heartstrings because I've seen so many young men fall into these traps based upon dealing with these unscrupulous people. And, you know, that's just based on a lack of knowledge. Okay, who could help me complete the amateurism regulation registration process? Okay, that's still not dealing with a violation. If I could complete the registration process but do not attend a Division I school or a Division II college or university immediately following high school, do I need to complete the registration process again if I want to attend a Division I or Division II college or university? Doesn't address a violation. Do transfer students also have to register with the NCAA Eligibility Center? Doesn't address a violation. If I am transferring from a junior college to either a Division I or Division II college or university, and all I need is my amateurism certification, doesn't address a violation. Okay. If I'm transferred from a junior college to either Division I, Division II college or university, do I have to receive academic and amateurism certification? Doesn't address a violation. Maybe we have something here. Okay. Next question. What if I roll a Division I, Division II college or university and decide to participate in a sport still not addressing a violation? Will a paper copy of the entry be available, not addressing a violation? I have been participating in an event related to my sport for a specific period of time. What event do I need to list on amateurism registration form? Okay. That's a kind of sort of open book there. You can get around that, or, you know, that still doesn't address violations as from a very simplistic standpoint. Once completing amateurism questionnaire, how long would it take to find out? That's not addressing violation. Can I receive different amateurism certifications from a Division I district? Not addressing violation. How often can I update my information? Not addressing violation. When can I request final amateurism certification? Not addressing violation. Who will be certified? Am I automatically ineligible if I violate the amateurism rules? Okay. Another one of those questions. Can I appeal a certification decision regarding my amateur status? And that is all the questions listed on an NCAA Blue Dot site, 4 pages long, titled Amateurism Certification Process, Frequently Asked Questions. And I'm going to go back to Google here. Let's see if I can find some more information that may come straight from the NCAA to address violations. I have nothing. And I simply typed in do's and don'ts of NCAA violations. Do's and don'ts of NCAA violations. And I'm really puzzled at this point. Why isn't there something as simple as putting this information out there for the students? I'm really puzzled. Parents, I need your support. Parents, I need you to work with me on this, because we need to bring this question to the table with the NCAA. It's not an optional thing. It's something that we must do. How can our children have a fair opportunity to participate, but yet and still they don't know all the rules of the game? Yes, they know the rules, the majority of the rules of the game as they're playing the game for that particular sport. But they don't know the little nuances that come from the NCAA. Simple things such as, okay, if a prominent booster, and we all know what the boosters are that support the various schools, you know, they make major contributions to the school annually, whatever, and, you know, they do other things around the school, boosters, sponsors, whoever, whatever title you want to call them. Probably all depends on dollar amount that they give, what title they receive. But if you receive something as simple as a bag of Skittles from a booster, that could be considered an NCAA violation. Now, a bag of Skittles from the NCAA, that can be considered an NCAA violation. Now, in all actuality, in all fairness, is that fair to the average young man or young lady trying to pursue an athletic scholarship, and they're at a game and, you know, some guy comes up to him and starts talking, hey, how you doing? You know, they're at the concession stand trying to get them a little Gatorade after the game or whatever. And somebody say, hey, let me go ahead and get that for you, man. You know, you had a good game just a few minutes ago.
that fair? Because per the NCAA, that is considered a violation. If a booster or a sponsor or one of them heavy alumni decide to offer something as simple as a bottle of Gatorade, bag of Skittles, whatever. Don't necessarily always have to be of a monetary value. Don't necessarily have to always be of a major amount. Something as simple as a bag of Skittles, bag of chips, Gatorade. They didn't buy you a whole case of Gatorade. They ain't sending a case of Gatorade to your house from now until you sign with their school. They just purchased one little simple Gatorade. So I think there should be a monetary value placed on that part of the rule. But the rules have been driven, have been drawn up so complex that our young kids can barely grasp them and understand them to the point of realizing that they are committing a violation. Dear parents, I'm calling upon you for your assistance, for your support. I am really and truly calling upon you to support me in this endeavor, because I want to be able to produce a working list of violations, do's and don'ts coming from the NCAA to every parent that has a child that's aspiring to play at the next level. Every parent. I want that parent to be able to go to the Parents Coach Parents Network page, site, website, whatever. We can tweet it out via social media, whatever, and look at all the do's and don'ts. You know, most folks that talk to you about pursuing an athletic scholarship or let us show you the ropes of, you know, athletic scholarship, yeah, they're telling you about the grade point average, about your core classes, about the putting together a highlight. No, I want to talk about something that's more relevant. Something that brings a little bit more meat to the table. I want you to know what your child is getting into when he or she signs that national letter of intent. When he or she expresses to you that they have the aspirations of playing at the next level, be it in elementary school, middle school, or high school. When they first let you know, I want you to know what doors are being opened. That's our focus and our mission and our promise to you here at the Parents Coach and Parents Network. Everybody out there, all the other Tom and Jerry bookstores or whoever can give you information about chasing the athletic scholarship. Everybody got the quick fix on how to get that athletic scholarship. Now let's talk about some things that are a little bit more tangible. Let's talk about some things that are a little bit closer to home. Let's talk about whether or not you want to sit down and do an eye-to-eye with the coach. And if the coach don't sound just like that child's parent and is going to demand that that child brings home his or her best effort, not only on the court but in the classroom, if that coach is not talking that same language, then maybe you need to move on to another school, another coach. You know, people often say, well, no, you're going there for the school. Yeah, you're going there for the school. But if you take all the bodies away from that school, those bricks cannot mold, shape, or instill character into your child. It's those human bodies floating around that campus that does it. So you are going there for the interaction with the various individuals that your child will encounter over the next 3 to 4 years, 5 years in some cases. So let's stop with that old drama. Well, you're not going there because of the coach. Yes, I am. And that's where I want my child to go. And that's why I will let that coach know that, hey, my child's coming here because I see something in you that I need my child to get and understand during these next 4 to 5 years. I'm not sending them there because, oh, this is a great institution. And this institution has done some phenomenal things. And they have a number of great scholars that have came out of this institution. No, those great scholars have only became great scholars based upon an interaction with someone that they have dealt with on that campus. They've seen someone on that campus to keep them motivated, to help drive them towards being the great people that they are today. So let's not feed us that garbage about, or you're going there for the institution. Institution to me, and we all call the institution the crazy house. If you look at some of our older movies back then, when you heard somebody being institutionalized, that was an insane asylum or something. But no, we're going there to get an education, yes. And that education is coming from interacting with someone on that campus, be it coach, be it professor, be it dean of students, be it president of the university, be it advisor, whoever, some individual. Because if you set a stack of books on the shelf, they can sit there and read every single book, but if they don't get the thorough interpretation and some life experience to fall behind that, then what are you doing? You can do that at any school. Any school can order the same books. Any school can have the same access to the same type of material. But it's that personal interaction that they're getting from someone on that campus which is making a difference. So let's get away from that, or you're going there for the institution talk. Getting back to talking about the violations, I'm going to run that little piece that I ran at the beginning just one more time, just so that you can hear it. Hopefully you can get something out of it. Hopefully you'll hear something different this time. But I really want you to pay close attention to what the conversation is in this little soundbite.
Jim Boeheim of Big Game Syracuse is under investigation. He is such a cheater, just like with Bernie Fine.
You, of course, mean the Bernie Fine situation where the accusations turned out to be false.
Yes, but this CBS sports story is bad.
Do they have any specific allegations in the story?
Nope, but they see Syracuse is breaking every rule in the manual.
Who says?
A person who does not want to be identified.
Someone rock solid. How bad can it be? North Carolina invented a course for its basketball players to take and was not punished.
But has a sexual assault allegation that the university covered up.
If they covered it up, how do you know about it?
Because they avoided punishment because they were basketball players.
So the fact that a Graham Just and Syracuse's Judicial Review Board both said the players were innocent just screams cover up.
Syracuse is a dirty program.
Dirty enough to buy Anthony Davis. That is right, they had a commitment from Anthony Davis, then he chose Kentucky mysteriously. But Syracuse cheats.
You are bitter. Are you some conspiracy theorist?
Two stories break in two consecutive years, 2 days before the NCAA tournament. I am sure that happens to everybody.
You are a hater.
Yes, I am a hater of crappy journalism.
Well, I hope you got something out of that. And, you know, as I listen to those pieces, you know, although you know, there's some animated voices that we hear. You know, there's some truth to every single one of those little snippets that they slide in there. You know, Anthony Davis initially being committed to Syracuse and then mysteriously ended up at Kentucky. You know, as we watch schools such as Kentucky and a couple of these other schools around the country, you know, and I'd be willing to bet UConn was in that mix at one point in time, and now, you know, the great Tar Heels of North Carolina has been exposed, and then I'd be willing to bet there's probably just a matter of time that there'll be a few other schools that we have looked at over the years as prominent institutions that will be exposed. And, you know, when you had scandals come out about the great Penn State, you know, that just tore some folks up to the point of, you know, I think there was a little bit too much pressure for you know, the coach there, you know, have all that scandal come down on him at one time. At no point in time will this ever happen. And if it does, I know we have a major problem in society. If that character, Sandusky, is ever released from prison, and upon being released from prison, comes out with his memoirs or come out with some book of some sort, you know, just literally talking about things that took place on the campus. Not talking about his interaction with the children, but talking about other scandals that come out. And, you know, that's normally how it happens. You know, folks will come out with these great books and these interesting tales based upon scandal that they had to live at some point in time. Well, if you want to join in on the conversation, you can reach us at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you, hear your thoughts, hear your comments, hear your suggestions, recommendations. How do I reach out to the masses to draw their support on, you know, getting this list of do's and don'ts from the NCAA? Because I think it's a must, folks. I think it's a must. Something that our children need to have access to, need to have information on. Because a lot of young men that I've interacted with over the last few years, you know, they're falling into various traps unknowingly. Unknowingly. Because they have no roadmap for their life. A lot of young men that I see on a daily basis, school gets back in the swing as of tomorrow, I'll go back in there looking at some more of them bright and shiny faces. But what I was saying was, our kids have no roadmap. I encounter or interact with young men on a regular basis, that think that what they heard on the latest or rap song or whatever is life. Well, I have to say at some point in time, I could say I was accused of the same thing. You know, as a young man, I'm sitting back and I'm watching movies like Shaft and Superfly and The Mac and all these other wild and crazy shows that come out. And, you know, I'm aspiring to say, hey, you know, hey, I may want to be like Max Julian. For those of you who don't know who that is the Mac. Or, you know, I want to be like Richard Roundtree, Shaft. Or I want to be like Ron O'Neill, Superfly. Or I just want to be like Curtis Mayfield. But all in all, you know, it's looking at these characters and thinking that that is life. But the garbage that our children are faced with today, not realizing that that is destruction, self-destruction. You know, the scary part about what's going on in our school systems today, and I'm switching the script a little bit, is you'll hear a young kid, and I'm talking middle schoolers now, and you probably hear it even at the elementary school level. Man, I'll shoot you in your face. Really? What? And the minute you touch the gun, your hand should be broke. But that's their statement. That's their statement. And that statement comes out of their mouth with such frequency and such ease. That's disturbing. Disturbing to the point of, I need to know. Where are we going to start to rectify this issue? Because I see too many of our young men falling by the wayside based upon this craziness. I recently talked with my mentor here about an hour ago, and he shared something with me talking about a video that Amari Stoudemire has placed up on his Facebook page talking about athletes and interacting with you know, community leaders. And I found that to be very interesting because, you know, that is something that I would say very easily is a must, and it's not something that needs to be ignored or should be ignored or could be ignored. It's something that needs to be addressed. It's something that needs to be brought to the table. These young men and women have the ability to do exactly that. And I wish more of them would speak up and speak out on this issue. He has went as far as, hold on a second, let me play that little piece for you.
We're being somewhat attacked culturally, physically, and mentally. I decided to put a quick letter together. I feel like it's very important for us as athletes, entertainers, and so forth, to use our platform to affect our community in a positive way. In the words of Dr. King, America is essentially a dream. From the looks of things, the so-called African-American community appears to be walking with the eyes wide shut. As for our forefathers, they were brought to this nation as slaves, and we are suffering from a serious identity crisis. In one generation, we were called and referred to as color, then Negroes, Afro-American, Blacks, and eventually African Americans. Who are we, people? But it's not by accident. It's the hand of God, as it is written. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 36 and 37, the Lord will bring you and the king which was set over you into a nation which you or your fathers have known. And there you will serve other gods, wood and stone, and you will become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all nations where the Lord will lead you. And this is one scripture out of the entire Bible. I can show you plenty more. With that being said, I ask this to view not merely as a statement, but as a call to action. In the near future, I'll be sponsoring a community development roundtable meeting with some other concerned proactive community leaders. It's time that we stop thinking as individual persons begin to mobilize as a unified people. Peace and love. Amari Stoudemire.
And that was just a little piece from Amari Stoudemire. If you're not familiar with who Amari Stoudemire is, Amari Stoudemire plays for the New York Knicks, has played for a number of years in the NBA, and has been very successful. You know, and I think, and I really and truly hope that he is serious about his statement. I really and truly hope that he is willing to reach out to other athletes and other entertainers and start a serious movement on a positive nature to make sure that our young men are not falling by the wayside. Make sure our young men are not being used and abused and gunned down in the streets. You know, I heard something earlier today, and you know, it was rather interesting. Someone shared something with me from an event that they attended this evening. And they talked about something along the same lines as trying to mobilize and getting up and being about action and being a true soldier in the community. But then they also turned around and said that it wasn't about how police are gunning down the young men out there in the streets. It's more about how our young men are gunning down themselves out there in the streets. Yes, that's a conversation. That is truly a conversation. And that is a very serious conversation. I have a problem more with the folks that ride around with the slogan, protect and serve, being the ones that are gunning down the young men in the streets. As far as the young men in the streets gunning each other down, that is going to be addressed. That is going to be addressed. And I think it's going to be addressed here real soon. It's going to be addressed at a very high level. And I'm not talking about a government level. I'm not talking about a political level. I'm talking about a very high level. And I'm sorry if I got sidetracked and got away from the issue of sports, but my whole thing is Parents Culture Parents Network is more than just chasing an athletic scholarship. We want to make sure that you and your child understand and get the whole picture out of what you're getting involved in as you move forward in the sporting industry. So, on that note, you may hear me from time to time address some other issues that's happening in the community, because it's a part of the fabric of who we are. It's a part of the fabric of our children being pillars and the role models, and not role models, I would say the pillars, and in some cases the leaders, in a lot of these various settings. And what I mean by that, if you look at the average young athlete in school, in elementary school, you know, notice that normally if you have a child that's very athletic, they're normally a popular child. Everybody gravitates towards him or her. And if you have one that's athletic and can, you know, manage what they need to do in the books as well, then they are, in a lot of cases, a leader. You know, look at the middle school level. They are natural, born, given leaders. We must learn to utilize that to our advantage. Start with those children to get them to understand the positive effect that they can make on their own environment and the environment of their peers. It is
It is utterly important, folks, that we get that message out to our young folks. I look at middle schools all the time, and I realize that if you look at the number of young athletes that's in that school, notice as you watch them move about the school, they normally have a little group of guys that will hang out with them, a little group of girls that will hang out with them. They normally gravitate towards each other. And then the ones that don't have that athletic talent but wish they had that athletic talent gravitate towards them as well. Those are your leaders. Those are your future voices. Those are the ones that we need to make sure that they're in their position. Not putting all the added pressure on them, just making sure that they understand their position. And if we can capture them, when I talk about capturing anybody, if we can refocus their thinking and their brain to understand the positive impact that they have in their environment, at the end of the day, it'd be such a beautiful thing. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Because if we look at our young men and women of today, a lot of them watch and track sports. I wouldn't say all of them. I would say a large majority of them watch and track sports. And if they're not watching and tracking sports, they may watch and track some entertainer. Again, that's another valuable voice. You got a handful that are very scholarly and they're focused and they know what they want to do and they move. That's the group I know that's on track. But oftentimes there's a disconnect between those scholarly students and your average everyday student. But there's never a disconnect between the athlete and your average everyday student. There's very rarely a disconnect between your athlete and a scholarly student, especially if you have an athlete that's fairly good in the books as well as on the court or on the field. So, folks, I need your help. I need your support. I'm calling for it here in 2015 because we need to do some things. Some things need to be done. Some things really and truly need to be done, starting with addressing the issue of the NCAA and the violations and understanding that our children need to be educated on what is and what isn't considered a violation. Next, helping our children channel their energy, channel their focus towards being that true leader that they are, understanding their history and understanding the greatness that lives within them to be successful young men and women in years to come, days to come, decades to come. Well, folks, as I prepare to wind down, it's been another great show. Haven't had a whole lot of callers this evening. I see I have a few callers on the line. Look like a couple numbers that we've had on the line with us, and there must be faithful listeners, and we appreciate your support. Please share the word, get the word out that the Parents Coaching Parents Network needs your support here in 2015, and we're planning on doing some things. Let me see if I can get the information for the event that I mentioned earlier on. I know I had it in here somewhere. Okay. The event is called, and this is a group of parents out of Northern Virginia area. It's called Parents, Your Role in College Recruiting of Your Child. And then it goes on, is Sunday, January the 18th at 6 p.m., from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at Riverbend High School,
River Bend High School. That's in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So if you are in the area, or if you know of someone that lives in that area, please, by all means, share this information with them and have them plan to come on out. Introduce yourself while they're out there. Again, it is parents, your role in college recruiting of your child. It's Sunday, January the 18th at 6 p.m. Start time is at River Bend High School. It's at 12:30. What happened? Hold on a second. Somehow I got. Come on. What happened? It's at 12:30 Spotswood Furnace Road, and that's Fredericksburg, Virginia. Fredericksburg, Virginia. It's an opportunity to come out and just have some dialogue and meet you know, some additional folks that's involved in, you know, sports players as well. This is being sponsored by the River Bend Basketball Booster Club. It's hosting a seminar geared towards parents of middle school and high school student athletes. Focuses on coaching, teaching parents their role in preparing their child for the next level of athletics, NCAA rules and regulations, eligibility. And then it goes on to talk about the guest speaker is Michael H. Scott. Please, if you have an opportunity, come on out. Share some information with us. This page is up on Facebook. There is a Facebook event page, and it has some great information. So if you're interested in attending, please, by all means, come on out and attend. Looks like they have well over 600-something people have been invited, but I don't think they're going to get 600-something people to attend. Hopefully they'll have, you know, at least 50 to 100, and that'll be great, you know, because for every year that's out there, you know, we can turn around and multiply that by at least two, them sharing the word with their friends and family and whomever. And it should be a great opportunity for all. So that's one thing that we're doing in 2015. That's how we're starting out the year. Of course, we're still doing the work with Recruit 757 at their scholarship workshops as well. And as those come up, I will also let each and everyone know when and where. So if you want to attend, check us out on Parents Call to Parents Network page here on Facebook, PCP Network on Twitter, PCP Network on Instagram, and, of course, here on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday at 9:30 p.m. Love to hear from you. Well, folks, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. On that note, we're going to prepare to wind down. So with my man Keith Wright, take us out.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then be ball would do the same.